I want to teach you on understanding the power of the gospel. There is power in the gospel. I need you to know that the gospel is not a mere message we preach. The gospel is the expression of the power of God. In Mark 16:17, he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." I know they have a message, but what makes them believers, what shows that they are believers, is that these signs shall follow them. He said, "In my name shall they cast out devils." So a man who carries the gospel has authority over devils. Number two, he said, "They shall lay hands on the sick shall recover." Number three, he said, "They shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Number four, he said, "They shall step upon scorpions and serpents, they shall by no means be hurt." So the gospel fortifies you with power. When you find Christians living in fear, they have not understood the gospel. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's not an intelligent message, although it sounds intelligent. It's not an appealing message, although it may sound appealing. He said, "It is the power of God unto salvation." So if you are looking for a suitable word to substitute for gospel, the word is power. What are these powers that the gospel conveys? Number one, the gospel communicates convicting power. The reason we are here is not because we judged God faithful. The reason we are here, it's not because we were so reasonable to discover that we were living in sin. It was the gospel that convicted us. If we were not convicted, we would have continued in our iniquity. In Acts 2:37, the Bible said, Peter preached. And you need to read what Peter preached. If you read that scripture, you will know that there is actually something in this gospel that we don't know. There's actually something in this gospel that we don't see. Peter literally gave them a narrative. It was a story he told. It wasn't a preaching. But when Peter finished giving this same narrative that they knew in the light of Christ, the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" You know, the problem with most of us is that we have not realized that the gospel carries power. So when we go to preach it, we try to exaggerate. We try to say what is not. We try to sugarcoat it. Leave the gospel the way it is. It is the way it is that gives the Holy Ghost credibility and legality to release the power. Every time you open your mouth to preach, be sensitive, be conscious, expect men to be convicted. Expect men to repent. Expect men to be touched in their heart. Because you are not speaking primarily to their brain. You are speaking to their spirit. And the spirit knows how to convict another spirit. The spirit knows what to transmit into another spirit. But the avenue for the move of the spirit is the message of the gospel. Because in it is convicting power. Number two, the gospel contains transformation power. Galatians 3 from verse 1 to verse 2 and Romans 12 verse 2. When Paul went to Galatia, he said the only job he did was to paint Christ crucified. That was all. "Oh, foolish Galatians," he said, "who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you?" So the whole message of Paul was to paint Jesus as the crucified Lord for their salvation. Now, when you preach this message, there is something the Holy Ghost begins to do. The Holy Ghost enters the mind of the people and it begins to renew them. Because while somebody is hearing that message, what he's listening to is the love of the Father. You are telling him, Jesus was crucified, he died for you, and he's wondering, me who was a fornicator all my life, what did I do to deserve this? How can the Father love me so much that he sent his only begotten Son? What do I have to offer? Because you are talking crucifixion, he is interpreting love. Sometimes you are talking crucifixion, he is interpreting mercy. You mean I'm not going to go to hell? You mean I'm not going to die? That's not your job. That's the workings of the Holy Ghost. Now, as the Holy Ghost is showing them this other side of the Father, something is happening to them. Their hearts begin to be renewed. Their minds begin to be renewed. It is that renewal of mind that leads to transformation. The gospel has the power to transform. Preach it with boldness. Don't be afraid of how they look. When they hear you, they may be like mountains. The Holy Ghost will enter their heart. And when he enters their heart, they will collapse at the feet of the cross. Number three, the gospel has the power to deliver. Many persons are in their bondages, not just because they desire it. There are spirits that have kept them in bondage. So the gospel also has the power to deliver. When we are preaching, the people who hear us first are not men. The beings that hear us first are not men. They are demons. You'll be shocked. Somebody may hear your message. It will take him 1 month to understand. But when a demon hears the truth, immediately the truth becomes judgment to it. Demons respond to our messages much more than men, because our messages come to remind them of the judgment that is upon their lives. So when we go out to preach the gospel, we must be conscious that we have been commissioned to communicate the deliverance power. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He said, "For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." See the gospel he was preaching. He said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Every time gospel is preached, deliverance takes place. And finally, when the gospel is preached, it engenders circumstantial turnaround. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10. Many people hear you. You are preaching about repentance. They go home, they discover a favor comes upon them, and they get a job. And they are wondering, which connection do they have? They don't need to have any connection. That's what the gospel comes to do. Paul said, "As sorrowful, yet rejoicing. As poor, making many rich." Because when the gospel is preached, in it also is the power to change the circumstances of men. That's why 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, "Christ, rich as he was, he became poor that you might be made rich." There is something the gospel does to a man who is backward. To some, he gives them wisdom. That wisdom translates to invention that brings money. To some, he gives favor. That favor translates to a force that attracts wealth. To some, it gives alignment in season, so that lines fall for them in pleasant places and they step into the opportunity. But one way or the other, if a man is true to the gospel, his circumstance cannot be the same. So in the gospel is power for conviction. In the gospel is power for transformation. In the gospel is power for deliverance. In the gospel is power for circumstantial turnaround. And in the gospel is the power to stand in God's presence. Five dimensions of deliverance that we have in the gospel is, number one, we were delivered from Satan. We were delivered from demons. We were delivered from the power of demonic spirits. Too many Christians don't get this. That's why they are where they are. In Colossians chapter 2 from verse 14, the Bible told us where the battle, the warfare between men and demons took place. Listen, when we are wrestling with principalities, the wrestling is no longer a fight you are fighting because you are not sure of victory. It's actually a battle of understanding. The Bible said on the cross, he said Jesus blotted out every handwriting of ordinance that was against us. And he said these writings that were contrary to us, he said he took it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. He didn't stop there. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he said he made a show of them openly. He didn't do it in hiding. Because if it were done in hiding, the devil would have said it has not yet happened. But now it is open. God knows. Angels know. Demons know. You are the only one who don't know. Colossians 1:12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet, the word is qualified, to be partakers of the inheritances of the saints in light. In verse 13, he said, who hath delivered us? He didn't say he's delivering us. He didn't say he will deliver us. He said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us? Everything here is in past tense. Translated us, not translating us, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So whenever a rebellious spirit shows up, tell him there's no way here. You know the way some of us who have understanding fight the devil. Sometimes we don't even say in the name of Jesus, get out. When the devil comes to say thank you, Father, the moment we start thanking God, he knows that we know we have been delivered. That's why Paul said, giving thanks to the Father. So anybody who has understanding, the moment he starts thanking God, the devil knows that, oh, this one knows. So the devil comes with cancer. He comes with arthritis. He comes with bad luck. He comes with affliction. You say, thank you, Father. I am more than a conqueror. Thank you, Father. I have overcome. Thank you, Father. I have victory in Christ. He will say, come, don't waste our weapons. Bring them quickly. Bring them, bring them. This one has to understand. I decree over you, this is the day of your liberty. The second thing we have been delivered from is the word and the word system. In John 16:33, I will run through it because I don't have time. He said, be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth. He has given us something bigger than the world. And that's why 1 John 5:4, he said, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. He said, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Listen, we have overcome the world. This is why you cannot allow the world mentor you anymore. Many Christians are not aware that we live in a realm higher than the world system. Don't let the world mentor you. Don't make yourself a slave of what you have been delivered from. You need to walk with the consciousness that sin should not have dominion over you. And so you program yourself to live above sin because you have been delivered from the power of sin. The fourth thing we were delivered from is death. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 to 10. Hear what Paul said. Don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of Christ. He said, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And then he went to verse 9. He said, concerning Jesus now, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. That's why we can't be part of the world. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he had given us in Christ before the world began. So this thing was given to us before the world began. We just realized it in Christ. Now in verse 10, hear what he said. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Death has been abolished. Listen, don't let death threaten you. There are many Christians today, they will literally faint at the slightest threat of death because they don't have assurance of eternal life. The life that we have has secured us with God forever and ever. And finally, what we were delivered from is the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 24. Here is what the Bible says. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The flesh has been crucified in Christ. The reason your flesh still torments you is because you make an occasion for it by the things you hear, by the things you see, and by the things you give yourself to. Rather, as a Christian who knows he has been delivered from the yoke of flesh, this is what he does. Romans 8:13, you submit yourself to the Holy Ghost, and he said the Holy Ghost will continually mortify. The way a dead body is put in a mortuary, that's what the Holy Ghost does to the flesh. He mortifies the deeds of the flesh. He said that is when you shall live. We can't live by the dictates of the flesh anymore. We can't give the flesh an occasion anymore. We have put on the Lord Jesus. Romans 13 verse 14. He said we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said let us no longer give an occasion to the flesh. This is the power of the gospel. He said whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Everything in the world you have overcome. The gospel empowers you to live it out. And there are three ways the gospel empowers you to live it out. Number one, by knowing and living the truth. John 8:32. He said, thou shalt know the truth. The truth that make you free. John 17:17. Sanctify them with thy word. For thy word is truth. That's the first way to live out these realities. Number two is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 6:4. It calls him the glory that raised up Jesus from the dead. When you submit to the Holy Ghost, he empowers you to live above sin. You see that in Romans 15:13 and Acts 1:8. It says, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall become witnesses. That means you'll be the proof of everything the world claims. The power of the Holy Ghost. And finally, by exercising your faith. 1 John 5:4. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. Thank you for watching this video. We trust you have been tremendously blessed. To get more messages by Apostle Michael Oropo, kindly join our Telegram channel by following the link on your screen. Your life will never remain the same. God bless you. This is Encounter Jesus Ministries International. Experience intimacy, transformation, and dominion.